I'm going to enjoy it whether you do or not. Amen. What a privilege it is to be back here in this place. I could certainly do. I have fond memories of many of you, many different events. The last time we were here, we had the privilege to see Brother Brian Hollis ordained into the ministry. Now you remember. You were trying to block that out of your mind, I know. And what a joy that was. And now they're locked up over in Bolivia and can't get out. So you be praying for them. And you be praying for us. Well, we certainly do thank you for your prayers. We covet your prayers. We are now in our sixth year of ministry at Columbiana Baptist Church. God is good all the time. He's right on time every time. And, you know, if I could just get it through my thick head most of the time to just trust God, He knows what He's doing. And if we could get it through, and I said me first so that you won't be so offended when I say you get it through your thick skull to trust God. But how often it is that we just simply refuse to trust God. We come to the place where we think that we know it all. Well, you know what? I read this book a couple of times and I've got all the answers. Well, I've read this book a bunch of times. And I, as one fellow much wiser than me said, he hasn't even figured out all the questions yet. And that's where I find myself. You say, well, what do you do? Trust God. He's good all the time. Every time. Jonah chapter number 4, if you'd turn with me in the Word of God tonight. Jonah, you say, where is that? If you don't know, just act like you know. I had my wife look it up for me and put my notes in there early. But it is between Genesis and Revelation, if that's a help to you tonight. The book of Jonah, chapter number 4. Can I ask you a question tonight before we get started? Did any of you see what's happening in our land coming in 2020? Now, some people are back there going, yep, I saw it. Yeah, sure. Now, some of it, right, maybe. But not all of this. Not the way that this is turning. I mean, this year... Let me give you, here's a homework assignment for you in the next week or two. I want you to go, just come up during the week and get with Pastor Knepshield and say, Pastor, tell me all of the things that you had planned for 2020 that had to change. And you better be ready to stay a while. And this year, and look, that's just for the church, but in your personal life, so many things have changed. And in my life, so many things have changed, and we still don't have concrete answers. We still don't see a clear path ahead. And it seems right now, right where we are, that there's been this revival of anger. Everywhere you look, you see mad people, you see mean people, you see miserable people. I'm a preacher, I gotta alliterate this. You see malicious people, and you even see murderous people. There's been a departure from kindness. There's been a veto of the golden rule, per se. All to adopt a manifesto of selfishness. Now, I'm here to tell you, it shouldn't surprise you that the lost world acts lost. But what disturbs me, and what ought to disturb you, is the rise of this angry spirit among born-again believers. In Luke chapter number 6, and that's not where we are. You see, you told me to turn to Jonah, preacher. I did. Luke chapter number 6, verses 45 and 46, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Tonight, I want to consider this matter of an angry spirit and some errors that come as a result, and I'm preaching on this subject tonight, when a servant becomes a sourpuss. Now I know Brother Helmick's looking at me going, that's not what you told me. Well, I have two different titles here, sort of. At the top of my paper, it says, a servant that became a sourpuss. You choose either one. Jonah chapter number 4. Look with me, verse number 1. Jonah chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You say, what displeased Jonah exceedingly? Well, chapter 3, verse 10. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And that right there, the grace of God displeased Jonah exceedingly, enough to make him very angry. You say, well, what is very angry? Well, it's angry, but very. My kids get that. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, listen to Jonah now. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow. And notice this last phrase, till he might see what would become of the city. Don't miss that. Here was a servant of God that got bitter about the grace and mercy of God, and he went out and sat down to see what would become of the city. When a servant becomes a sourpuss, let's pray. Father, again we pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts this evening through your word. What a privilege it is to have a place where we can gather and assemble. What precious memories we have, and still fervent prayers for this church, for the people that make up Clearview Baptist Church. We certainly do count it a privilege and an honor to be able to open your word before these people and to be able, Lord, to declare, oh, I'm thankful for your grace and your mercy in my life. Oh, I don't deserve it. I never did. I never could. But God, you were gracious and merciful to me. And I pray that tonight that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd encourage us, that you'd challenge us. Lord, there doubtless is not, there's one here tonight who maybe doesn't, has never trusted Christ to be saved. And I pray, God, tonight that you continue to draw them. I pray that they'd trust you for salvation. But I pray, God, that it would not be that they wouldn't trust you for salvation because of a sour attitude found among your people. God, help us. Oh, we live in tumultuous times. We live in this turbulent time. We don't know what to do many times, and we oftentimes just refuse to trust you. And I pray you'd help us. Go with us, we pray, tonight through the message. I pray you bless this church. Bless Pastor Nepshield and his family, all those that have a part that make up Clearview Baptist Church. Lord, I pray your continued blessing in the years ahead. I pray for our folks back home at Columbiana Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the privilege to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it wouldn't be right if I didn't use my hanky when I was here, so I can't help it. My mom says, you need to stop doing that. It makes you sniff in the microphone. I apologize. I go through oftentimes in audio. It's terrible now that we have Facebook and the video, because I can't go through and chop those pieces out of the video. So I'm sorry for those who are watching. When a servant becomes a sourpuss, King Solomon penned this profound truth in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Hey friends, pay attention to your heart. It's your seat of emotion. It's your center of feelings. And what comes out of your heart can make you or break you. Jesus taught in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolish. Boy, that's a great list, isn't it? This doesn't sound at all like the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Well, these are the exact opposite. It says all these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's why David, a man after God's own heart, made this statement in his prayer of repentance recorded in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I want you to know tonight, you can't do that on your own. You'll never do that on your own. You can't be good enough. You can't do good enough. You can't think that you'll make it someday. You need, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. That's the work of a gracious and merciful God. And I hope that that's your desire from day to day as you get up each and every day. God, would you create in me today that clean heart? Would you wash me whiter than snow? But here in Jonah chapter 4, we see a servant that became a sourpuss. You say, why do you use that word? Because everybody knows what that is. When I say sourpuss, you get a picture of somebody in your mind. Maybe it is, and you might have seen this years ago, but there was the grumpy puppy that was on. That's what he looked like. Even when he was happy. My mom says, that's what I look like all the time too, but that's all right. Bethany got married last year to Trevor Kaler, so we're actually the Jameson-Kaler duo down here on vacation. And they were taking the pictures. And you know, you stand there and you smile for an hour and a half while they take all these pictures that nobody is ever going to look at again. But they're put in a box to bring out and bore people. So I'm standing in the back, and it's all of our family, and the lady's there taking pictures, and she's like, smile. So everybody's smiling. I just decided I'm standing back there, and I... She said, you're not smiling. I said, because I don't feel like smiling. This is how I feel on the inside. My mom decided to make that her profile picture on Facebook. Here in chapter 4 of Jonah, a servant that became a sourpuss. Jonah, he was displeased. He was very angry. He tried, if you'll notice here, he tried to justify his past sin. He's speaking to God and he says, God, this is why I ran off when you told me to go to Nineveh and preach. This is why I ran off to Tarshish. Why? Because I didn't want you to show grace to them and I knew you would. Jonah, he begged God to kill him. Take my life from me. This isn't a clean heart or a right spirit. God point blank asked Jonah, dost thou well to be angry? And Jonah walks off to stew, to steam, and to pout. And now it's real easy for us to sit here tonight and we'll sit on our self-righteous thrones. We'll start throwing stones at Jonah. But let's take a quick journey, a very quick journey, through the previous three chapters and consider some things. I'll give you a statement. In chapter 1, Jonah receives the word of God. God comes to Jonah, says, this is what I want you to do. But Jonah doesn't like it, so he retreats from the presence of the Lord and he hides among the heathen. But even they see the problem and they rebuke him for his foolishness. The lost men on the boat have more sense than Jonah. Jonah ends up fish food. Chapter number 1. Chapter number 2, Jonah remembers the Lord and he repents of his sin and he trusts the Lord, and guess what? He receives salvation of the Lord. He's revived and he's restored. Now let me help you. On the outside, Jonah still looks like fish puke. But he came out of that fish running to Nineveh, ready to serve the Lord. In chapter 3, Jonah receives the word of God once again. This time he doesn't retreat. But he marches into Nineveh and he does as the Lord has asked. Jonah surrendered his will to the Lord and he submitted himself to the Lord and he set out to serve the Lord, and there was success. And I'll just say it this way: God's plan works when it's worked God's way. all the time. God's plan works when it's worked God's way. Now, what about us? We sit under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. I had the privilege for upwards of 7 years to sit in this very place, and week after week after week, Pastor Knapfield would stand and pour his heart out to preach the Word of God. And I want you to know, it found a resting place in my heart. And I took it, and I didn't just walk out of here and say, well, that was nice. Boy, that outline was cute tonight. His alliterated points, they were... Did you hear that illustration? No. It's, did you hear, thus saith the Lord? Did you hear what that needs to do in my life and how I now have the responsibility to respond and to react to that? Again, it's nothing that I did. Watch this. And it's nothing that Pastor Knapfield did. God's plan works when it's worked God's way. Here was a yielded servant to the Lord, and through that I had the privilege to become a yielded servant to the Lord, and God came my way and said, I want you to preach. And I wrestled with the Lord for that for a year, and the ones of you in here who know us, I never told you. You never knew it. But a year, a whole year, my wife didn't even know it. Pastor didn't know it. The only people who knew that I was wrestling with that was God and me. Thank God I didn't get swallowed by a fish. I thank God for the privilege to serve Him. And Jonah, and in chapter 3 of Jonah, he receives the word of God again. He doesn't retreat this time. He marches into Nineveh. He does as the Lord has asked. Now we sit under preaching, we sit under teaching. The Holy Spirit will come and convict you and call you, and many times you'll refuse and you'll run in the other direction. It is as clear to you what you ought do for the Lord, and you say no. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's your free choice. There have been times I learned this in these past few years. I apologize for being such an ornery church member. I learned this. There are some times the Lord will burden you with a message, and you'll pour your heart into study and to preparation, and you'll come to the pulpit, and you'll preach it, and you'll see the folks there affected by it, and an invitation time will come, and everybody will get up and turn around and go out that door, and it falls on deaf ears and never seems to make a difference. Can I tell you what you want to do when that happens? You want to become just like Jonah. Many try to hide in the world, hoping God will lose sight of them and forget about them. If I just ignore God, He'll eventually go away. Can I help you tonight? That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. So eventually God gets our attention. We cry out for mercy. God hears. God helps. God heals. And we'll even set out to serve God for a while. And we'll see some success. But then it happens. God works in a way that we don't like. In a certain situation, God doesn't work through it the way you expected Him to. The way you wanted Him to. The way you thought He ought work. And all of a sudden you start to sour and you start to spoil. Now think of this COVID-19 situation. Off the record, and I know it's not. This stuff is driving me nuts. That's all I'll say about that. And we find ourselves angry at God, angry at the government, angry at generally everything. We stew and we steam and we work ourselves into a rage, just like Jonah. Saved, But all of a sudden, our attitude is so sour, we can't help anybody. Watch the danger here. When you decide to sour, some very bad things happen. Number one, I want to let you know tonight, I got three. Number one is you stagnate. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. What? Verse 5, Jonah went out of the city. Jonah was preaching repentance. Now, this shocks me. Jonah walks into Nineveh, says, hey folks, 40 days to disaster. Repent, or God is going to wipe this city out. And the people repented. I mean, you talk about success. There's a preacher getting it done. But the problem was Jonah didn't like the audience. Jonah was hoping that they'd just be stubborn and that they wouldn't repent and then God would wipe them out. Jonah was fine with God saving him, but not those wicked heathens. Let me just plow a little bit. I'll be the first to tell you, I do not agree with, I do not like, I do not condone the religion of Islam. But can I help you, friends? The First Amendment applies to them just as much as it applies to you. I have the freedom in this country to stand for what I believe in. Guess what? They have the freedom to stand for what they believe in. But we don't like that. God wipe them out. Oh, I've heard it. I've said it. God help us. Jonah walked off the job. He stagnated. His spirit festered. It rotted. He called it quits. See, Jonah was inconsiderate of their need. He was rebellious to God's plan, and he was selfish in his desire, and he was unbelieving in his heart. Watch what Jonah says. God, you're going to show mercy to the Ninevites? They don't deserve it. God, wait, you made me fish food, but you're not doing anything to those people. Hold on. God spoke to Jonah, and Jonah refused first. And still God showed mercy to Jonah. Still God used Jonah. Still God gave Jonah an opportunity to serve, and Jonah forgot it. Don't you stagnate and run off because God isn't doing things your way. Remember, God's plan works when it's worked God's way. Don't you look for God to pour wrath on another when He's showering you with His grace. Oh, I have to remind myself of that all the time. You know, I've been driving a lot in these past few days. And I have to remind myself of that a lot. God, strike them dead, open the earth, something get them out of my way. Don't forget the blessings that God has sent your way. Don't toss aside the privilege that God has given for you to live for Him. What an opportunity that we have. Don't stagnate, don't sour, don't spoil. Hey friends, don't quit. What a thrill it is to come back after some time away and to walk in a building and see familiar faces and watch this and see new faces. Why? Because when we do things God's way, He works in those every time. Keep trusting God and watch your spirit. Number two. First you stagnate, then this happens, you separate. See, in verse number 5, it said Jonah went out of the city, but now watch. Sat on the east side of the city and there made him a booth. See, once you start to stagnate, you'll find yourself moving away from the work of God. Let me help you with this. The work of God moves forward. Do you understand? You say, well, I'm not doing anything. I didn't go anywhere. I just sat right down. Right. And the work of God keeps moving forward. And the distance keeps increasing. standing still is just as good as going backwards. Once you start to stagnate and you find yourself moving away, you'll find that you don't want to be part of the solution. What you're interested in is publishing now and publicizing your sour attitude. And instead of doing what God told him to do, Jonah built himself. Now, I spent a lot of time on this part of my notes, so you all, I hope you enjoy this. Instead of doing what God had told him to do, Jonah built himself a pouting pedestal to perch on. I got it out. Praise the Lord. He was mad and he wanted everyone to see it. Jonah says, look at me. I'm miserable and it's the people's fault. Wait, and it's God's fault. Here's the child of God that's chosen to walk away from God's leading so they can waste their energy working on selfish pursuits. Sounds like this. Unfortunately, I've heard some of these through the years that we've been in church. God, I don't like the way you're blessing this church. I don't like the place that you've given me to serve at this church and in this area. I don't like that you're helping people grow closer to you and be excited about you. I don't agree with the vision and leadership of the pastor. So God, I'm not going to submit to you. I'm going to stagnate and I'm going to spectate. Can I help you tonight? I know we've been gone from here for over 5 years now as members of this church. But in the years that we had the privilege to be a part of Clearview Baptist Church, not one time, did Pastor Knepfield ever treat me like he was a tyrant, like he was an overlord, but as just a gentle shepherd. And I value that. I value that. Do you mean that the Pastor Knepfield, he was always really just sweet and gentle with you? No, sometimes he had to kick me in the backside to keep me moving in the right direction. But I needed it. And it helped me. Can I help you tonight, friend? There's going to be something that's going to happen in this very church right here within these walls that you're not going to like. That God will be showing His mercy and grace through. To people who you might even look around and say, they don't deserve it. Neither do you. Neither do I. I still am amazed that Jesus Christ would not come off the cross when he realized that one day I was going to ask to be saved. Well, not that dude. Anybody but him. I'd stay up here if it wasn't for him. No. God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And oftentimes, who do we think we are when we get this bad attitude? I'm not going to pray that you help the pastor or the people. I've heard people say that. I'm not going to pray anymore. I don't like the way it's going, so I'm not going to ask God to work anymore. I'm just going to stop serving and just sit over here and pout so everyone can see me. I'm going to start just doing things my own way and I'm going to do my own thing and until that church gets their act together and starts doing things my way. A servant that becomes a sourpuss stagnates, separates, and number three, you spectate. You spectate. Verse 5, it says, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Here's old, sour, stagnant, separated Jonah. He's just sitting on the sidelines now. Watch this. He is actively looking for the failure of the city. He is looking now for these folks that need the mercy of God to turn away from God. And as one who has received the mercy of God, he's sitting there and saying, God, they don't need it. Many Christians are at that place right now. You ever have that happen? You don't have to testify tonight. I won't come and ask you afterwards either. You might be walking through the grocery store. I don't know. I don't know what you all can do down here now freely. Sit at home and watch bad news, fake news. Anyway, it's enough of that. Whatever the case may be, you ever have that happen? You see someone, look at him, oh my soul, there's no hope for them. Sure there is. Sure there is. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Boy, I'm glad for that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, we ought to be sharing that message of good news. Well, they might say a bad word about me. Maybe they will. But wait a minute. Why are you saying a bad word towards them and you're saved by the blood of Christ? You're supposed to be sharing that. So here's sour, stagnant, separated Jonah. And I want you to see the danger. He's not praying that God would help the people. He's not participating in the plan of God. He's not profitable at all with this attitude. In fact, his hope is that God will destroy the people and the place. And the only thing Jonah wants to see is for God to do things Jonah's way so that Jonah can walk around and go, aha, I was right. Jonah doesn't care if people get hurt as long as Jonah gets what Jonah feels he deserves. Jonah's built himself a seat on the sidelines so he can be the first to cheer when everything around him comes apart at the seams. I know people like that in our day that have walked away from a good, godly work because they got their feelings hurt, because they wouldn't mature in the faith, and they thought just because they were old by way of age made them mature Christians. And I'm here to tell you, friends, what you feed yourself is what you're going to grow in. You're going to feed on garbage all day long. You're not going to grow in grace. And walk away. And to this day, all they do is sit on the sidelines and can't wait. Can't wait. You know, there are folks, and I don't know them by name, so don't come up and ask me afterwards. But I guarantee you there are folks in this area right now that right now, this very night, are sitting at home. And if they saw on the news that Clearview Baptist Church shut her doors, they'd jump for joy. I know folks right now, don't ask me their names, that if I went home from this place and on Sunday morning stood in the pulpit of Columbiana Baptist Church and said, I'd like to announce this morning, unfortunately, that I'm resigning as pastor of Columbiana Baptist Church, there are folks that would jump up and cheer. For what purpose? To get things their way. But is that going to help anyone in the cause of Christ? When we do things God's way, God works. Let's just keep doing things God's way. I want you to see this. Here's your ultimate danger. This just jumped out at me as I was reading one day. Like, I mean, that phrase, till he might see what would become of the city, was just earth-shaking enough. But I want you to look at Jonah chapter number 4 and verse 8. I'm not going to tell you about the gourd that came up and gave Jonah some shade. Then God sent the worm to eat the gourd. But then we get to verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God had prepared a vehement east wind. That means the wind blew hard. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Do you realize Jonah's the one that put himself out here in the sun? Jonah could have been inside the walls of that city going around and helping some folks for God's work. And he could have been doing what he should have been doing. But no, now he's sitting out here on the sideline and he's now stagnated and he's now separated. Now he's soured completely. Now watch this. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? Jonah had more concern for that stupid plant. Excuse me, Pastor, I said that bad word. I'm sorry. That silly plant that gave him a little bit of shade than he did for the people, the souls now of the people of Nineveh. But watch this. God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Now let me tell you something right here that makes this so disturbing. That is the last recorded word of Jonah in the Word of God. There's no coming back from that. He'd made up his mind. He was a good servant, a sweet servant. He was stubborn at first, like we all are. But God used him greatly. He got his feelings hurt and he walked away. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 people that cannot discern, watch this, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? God must have been watching our local news. If you're stagnating, if you're separating, if you're spectating today, I want for you tonight to stop for a moment and consider just how good God has been to you. You might not understand God's plan and you might not understand God's current working, but we don't have to understand. We just have to trust that God knows best. Well, I don't like that. He got loud. He yelled. Yeah, to get through that rock of a skull, that stony heart. He said, well, I don't like that. Oh, now he's calling me names. Hey, friends, I know what it is to be stubborn with the Lord. I know what it is to have a bad attitude when things don't go the way you think they ought go. And what I want to encourage you with tonight, friends, I don't know when the next time that God will give us the privilege to come back through this place. You know, the selfish side of me would just like to say, we'll just be raptured out of here in a day or two and I'll see you all there. And if you're not ready to go, tonight's the night to get ready. Today's the day of salvation. God has given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to trust Him. Don't turn Him away again. You trust Him today. But friend, can I help you? I didn't come here tonight to hurt your feelings. Brother Corey didn't hire a hitman to come and preach you out of your spot. What I want you to know tonight, God loves you so much. And He's already done so much for you. He's done so much for me. More than we could ever merit. More than we could ever deserve. And there are folks that need that mercy. And they need that grace. And all God is asking is, will you be the one to carry it to them? Will you be the one to just be that sweet servant? Just live the Word of God. Do it God's way. You don't have to understand it. You just trust Him. Would you be willing tonight to serve Him with a clean heart and a right spirit? And how's your heart tonight, friend? Well, I came to church tonight just to check something off my list, just so I could tell my Facebook friends that I went to church and that they should have went to church. They shouldn't have worried about wearing a mask. And they shouldn't have worried about social distancing. They should have just went to church. I'm better than them because I went to church and they didn't. Is that why you went to church tonight? Did you come to church to hear from God? Tonight there are a bunch of Christians that are sitting on the sidelines that God's saying, hey, get in the game. Get in the game. Get in the game. Time is short. I've got a spot for you. Got some folks I want to help. God already knows your heart. Why not be honest about it tonight? Would you be considered a stagnant sourpuss or a sweet servant? Father, we pray tonight that you'd help us. God, as I approach your throne in prayer, I would have to admit readily that I probably need this more than anyone here. God, how many times, and you know, where I've been stagnant and tried to separate and tried to spectate. God, how many times I've tried to sit and pout until you'd do things my way. But what a joy it is to realize that you work the best when we just do your work your way. God, I pray tonight that you'd help these dear folks, the ones that are tuned in by way of live stream. What a joy it is to have your word and to have your precious salvation. God, what a joy it is to be your child. I pray if there's one here tonight that's never trusted Christ, God, would you burden them that they wouldn't be able to leave this place until they make the best choice they'd ever make in their life. God, tonight maybe there's one that's seated here that's been saved for an awfully long time but's found themselves on the sideline recently and just kind of spectating. God, it's worth it. It's so worth it to serve you. I already know there'll be many things that I'll have to answer for, many things that I'll say I'll wished I had given him more. But God, I pray that you'd give me the grace and mercy, give me the strength, lead me, and each one that's here tonight, that we'd give our last dying breath, everything we've got for you tonight. For the rest of our lives, however long that may be, God, would you use us in a great way? God, would you use Clearview Baptist Church to be a wonderful beacon of hope in this area? God, our church back home at Columbiana, those all around the world that are proclaiming your truth, help us tonight, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.